Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. Now let's get straight into it, starting with Monday, the 11th of March, 2024. Afshin, I want to know what you think of this first story. On Monday, Sweden's flag will be raised outside NATO's headquarters, which signifies that it's the latest member to join the military alliance. As we know, Sweden officially became part of NATO last week, though they only applied last year. In 2022, and it seemed to be Russia's invasion of Ukraine which pushed the vote and public opinion towards them joining, along with Finland, which obviously joined in 2023. But I mean, we know Sweden has a relatively strong military industrial complex, but will it really make any material difference to the defense of NATO that Sweden is joining, or is it just, you know, the public face of it, you know, of the so-called cool club of NATO, and it's just for show?
Cool club, you mean genocide clubs. Sweden famously has Bofors, this huge military arms company involved in the genocide in Gaza, and you know, avoiding the gags about IKEA. Clearly, Sweden is now a target. There is no cool club, and there is no protection from Russian and Chinese and North Korean nuclear weapons. So Sweden has just made itself a target, and the entire world, really, the international community outside NATO, sees Sweden obviously as a co-conspirator in terms of the arms being supplied to the Israelis to wipe out and exterminate a whole ethnic population in the Middle East. So it's a catastrophe. And I notice here in the UAE, the headlines here, Israel pounds Gaza as fasting month begins. Ramadan Kareem, in fact, Millie.
Ramadan Kareem to you.
I mean, it's appalling. I'm wearing this T-shirt, though, because one of the great supporters of Palestine was Bob Crowe, who died 10 years ago. I had the privilege of conducting one of his last ever interviews. His protege, Mick Lynch, leads the railway union now in Britain. But it just goes to show how internationalist workers' movements in Europe are, even in Sweden, about what's happening in Palestine. Arthur Scargill, the great leader of the miners, 40 years to the day since the miners' strike began, the seminal flashpoint of neoliberalism. And he was just the other day talking about Palestine. It shows how the Palestine issue combines with the issue of catastrophic economic circumstances in NATO countries.
All really links to NATO. But just to add to that as well, there are still three more members who want to join NATO as of 2024. That's, of course, Ukraine, Georgia, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. So that's 32 countries in NATO as it stands and growing. But we will go back to NATO later on.
Is it their populations, though, that want to join, or the kind of top leader? I mean, surely most of these countries, the ordinary people on the ground, are more bothered about cost of living crisis rather than trying to make themselves a target of China and Russia and
Sure. But though I guess historically in a lot of these kind of geopolitical alliances, you don't have referendums on joining them, do you? You elect the leaders and you expect the leaders to make the right decisions for the country. But as I say, we'll go back to NATO later on in the week, but it is worth mentioning, I think, that also on Monday, it's 4 years to the day that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. Do you remember that? It feels like
I got an alert
ago that happened.
Did you get an alert from the British beleaguered National Health Service to get a COVID vaccination? Is that still a thing? Did you get one?
I didn't know. So clearly they don't care about my health.
anyway, I don't think I'll be going back to Britain to get one. Yeah, obviously we have to be fearful of the next pandemic. I thought that was the issue. Surprising that since the Ukraine proxy war, we haven't heard so much about pandemics. But I know that today, Monday, the 11th of March, is supposed to be when these astronauts return after 200 days at the International Space Station. Can you imagine coming back to Earth?
And coming back to this.
Well, tens of thousands of people killed in this genocide in the Middle East. They must just be wondering about the human race. Is enough to give them PTSD after being away.
They're probably better off staying outside in space.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday, back to the US, a big NATO member. I don't know, maybe the US feels a little bit safer now that Sweden has joined, or maybe not. I don't know, because perhaps not. because the US Senate Committee on Intelligence is holding its annual hearing on threats from the US. That's right. Now, obviously, CIA Director Bill Burns will be there, NSA Director General Timothy Hall, FBI Director Christopher Wray, among several others.
Avril Haines, the famous woman who was there at the black sites in Thailand, supervising torture, allegedly. She's the Director of National Intelligence. Well, that's the kind of people we're talking about. Not the CIA guy, Bill Burns, who was the ambassador in Moscow, who we know was counseling for peace rather than continued NATO expansion, which would provoke Russia into defending the Russian speakers of Eastern Ukraine.
Well, these are among the people who will be there, but what threats do you think they're going to highlight this year? I mean, we could probably list several, couldn't we?
Trump, I suppose, is their main threat. Did you notice at the appalling Academy Award Oscars, although, you know, I did favor Oppenheimer, that Jimmy Kimmel character said Trump should go to jail in a kind of jokey aside, which makes one think, you know, in most countries, it's sub judice when someone's been charged. Clear that the propaganda system in the United States in full swing, trying to jail the leading opposition leader in the United States. But I suppose the intelligence services and people like Chris Wray and these people, their biggest enemy is Donald Trump. And then their biggest enemy is Russia, China, Venezuela, Iran, who knows, South Africa for the ICJ case. Most of the world, I think.
Well, speaking of US presidents, also on Tuesday, I know we mentioned it last week, but the now infamous, arguably, US Special Counsel Robert Hur is appearing at the US House Committee to testify over his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. Now, as we've mentioned several times, he famously said, the quote, "Biden is a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory," so let him get away with his alleged crimes, as some people would say. And actually, Afshin, according to a poll carried out by Harvard Center for American Political Studies, 76% of US voters want the Hur report to be released to the public, because 76% of the US voters don't agree with the findings and feel that Biden should have been charged for this. It's just a story that keeps on giving, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, didn't he misspoke again, saying the United States should never have gone into Ukraine? But having said that, the State of the Union was applauded by the entire propaganda media complex in the United States. But he centered it on foreign policy, as if the lives of ordinary Americans in the United States suffering under the most appalling economic situation, with 40 million unable to eat without federal aid and so on. As if they care about provoking Russia and helping the military-industrial complex. But, it'll be interesting what Robert Hur has to say. 57 years on Tuesday that there was a coup in the largest archipelago on Earth, Indonesia, bringing Suharto to power, who overthrew Sukarno, led to a million dead thanks to the CIA. That won't be mentioned, of course, in the United States or on any propaganda media. And I noticed that Congress is holding a thing on hypersonic weapons on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This is after Russia used these Kinzhal missiles that reputedly there were rumors that Russia might, if the British continue to support neo-Nazis in Ukraine, they were going to hit the Department of Defense in London, because such is the pinpoint accuracy, who knows, they could just single out that building in Whitehall. I wonder, Putin's bluff has been called, arguably, on that since the leaked German phone call. Why has Russia not attacked Britain, which is what the threat was, if troops from a third country were in Ukraine?
It is a big week for Russia, which we'll get onto a little later on. Also on Tuesday, the UN Security Council is meeting for a briefing on the cooperation between the UN and the European Union. Now, I've got to say, what they say is they cooperate on several issues, according to them, including, but not limited to, human rights, sustainable development, climate change and environmental protection, digital peacebuilding, crisis management, disarmament and non-proliferation, humanitarian assistance, fighting corruption and crime. And I'm getting out of breath. Perhaps if you're watching or listening, you can decide whether you think they actually live
they
up to
up
these claims.
They blew up the Nord Stream, didn't they? With EU support.
Well,
so
allegedly.
With climate change at all. What a ridiculous situation. No, I think Tuesday is best to just read Garcia Marquez's unreleased previously unreleased novel, the great Colombian Nobel Prize winning friend of Fidel Castro. They won't mention his friendship with Fidel Castro. You're going to read this book until August about a happily married woman looking at the men at a hotel bar, already poorly reviewed in the mainstream media. So maybe it is a good book.
But we're not sponsoring this book, of course.
No, although Marquez, what a great writer. Trump could on Tuesday make the grade to be the official candidate of the opposition party in the United States after Georgia, Mississippi, and Washington State.
Pretty certain at this stage, isn't it? As we have said the last few weeks, but that's right. It should be officialized. This
he's
week.
Worse than Biden, is he, on Gaza? We don't know. He said, finish the job.
Well, remains to be seen. But on Wednesday, then, in the European Parliament, there's a debate, vote and address by the Finnish Prime Minister, Petteri Orpo, on the Artificial Intelligence Act. Now, I know this is something that's been in the news quite a bit recently. Now, the EU states are unanimously endorsed this act in December. And if a final vote goes through, then it'll be implemented in the next few weeks. But now this is effectively going to be an act over the regulation of AI. But I think the issue is, of course, many people argue AI can't really be regulated effectively. And how do you do it? You know, how do you put these laws in place? You know, if you think about things like computer viruses, scams, deep fakes, they're all illegal, but it doesn't stop them from happening. If your computer gets a virus,
deep fake.
That's
Kate
right.
Middleton, the British
allegedly,
princess, yeah. Did she use deep fake? I mean, this European Union, which is considered a co-conspirator in genocide by many people around the world, so it's not a friend of any idea of human rights or the right for human sovereignty. They probably have Microsoft software. They're probably using AI to draft their AI regulations. Or does that sound like a science fiction film? They probably are. I know in Britain they'll be talking about the Hong Kong demonstrations because China has finally put its foot down against these appalling NATO nation, EU-backed NGOs bent on trying to return Hong Kong to dictatorial British rule. So that'll be interesting to watch what's happening in Hong Kong.
Right, absolutely. And also EU High Representative Joseph Borrell is heading to Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, where he'll stay until Friday. I think Tuesday he'll be in New York at the UN.
That's a long time, Millie, isn't it, for the foreign policy chief to just be in Washington.
Well, this is it. And it's unclear exactly what his agenda is going to be throughout the whole of this trip. I don't know if he's expected to meet Biden or Blinken, perhaps. But of course, Borrell has told the US to stop sending weapons to Israel, has been one thing he said the last month. He's here.
Why doesn't he tell European countries to stop sending weapons to Israel?
Well, I think he has. I think he said it on behalf of all the countries sending weapons, and particularly the United States. As we know, the US is the main.
I think if he really cared about it, he'd be in with Ursula von der Leyen saying that he wanted to resign. Presumably, this is to do with realpolitik in Brussels. He doesn't really care about the genocide. Otherwise, he'd resign.
Who knows exactly what he's doing there? I mean, he may also be. Promoting more aid to Ukraine, which he does advocate. So
military aid to kill Russians.
Sure.
There's half a million killed in Ukraine, are some of the figures now emerging, isn't it? So this is a kind of bloodlust of poor Ukrainians, and even the Pope said it's time for Ukraine to negotiate, to put up the white flag, given Ukraine has lost this brutal proxy war and the fact that negotiations have been made illegal by this comedian, Zelensky. It's time for negotiations to be allowed. The idea that the Ukrainian leadership continues this American-British policy. Oh, my artificial AI was just triggered there. Must be something about Ukraine. But, I mean, clearly negotiations are needed. And Joseph Borrell is someone not wanting them, actively wanting more weapons there.
Okay, well, moving to Thursday, another NATO event. NATO will be releasing its annual report on its achievements, initiatives and challenges over the past year. Of course, Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg will be giving a press conference on that. But I don't know, do you think we need to see the report, Afshin, to surmise what those things might be?
This idea that these are sovereign nations, they're just, it's a proxy Washington organization. Ukraine isn't even in the Atlantic, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Well, what is the point of this organization except to provoke possible war? And of course, it's these nations arming the genocide. And Thursday is 46 years since the UK-US-EU armed Israeli brutal invasion of Lebanon. By Thursday, this Ramadan, who knows what situation there will be in Rafah, in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Yemen, where Britain and the United States are bombing, where British and United States armaments are pouring down on Syria. Of course, they bombed Iraq in the past few weeks. NATO is widely seen, I think, by the international community as something that needs to be urgently curbed. But how can it be curbed until China and Russia do something to teach it a lesson? I think that's what a lot of the global South must be thinking. And the International Court of Justice has issued no emergency ruling to order these NATO nations to cease their support of genocide in terms of weapon transfer. So I think it's bad days for NATO and dangerous days for all of us, because what could trigger Russia and China and Iran and all these different countries to say enough is enough? Yemen is to be discussed on Thursday at the Security Council, of course. Mm-hmm. And I should just say also, you didn't mention that, you know, this week there are all these weird meetings in Germany. Why is Thailand's PM in Germany? Why is the Philippine Prime Minister Ferdinand Marcos Jr.? What's going on with this new Southeast Asia push to hit at China?
Something not likely to hit the headlines either, I assume. We'll go very much under the radar, these meetings. But there are several of these seemingly unusual meetings to be had. But also on Thursday, what is perhaps likely to be more in the headlines is back on Trump, as we like to keep you updated with the goings on of his trials and tribulations. But there will be a hearing on the motion to dismiss charges over Trump's alleged holding of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. So in other words, there will be a hearing to consider whether some of the or all of the charges relating to the case will be dismissed. And this is the head of the criminal trial, which is set to begin on the 20th of May, though almost definitely likely to be postponed, probably after the election, as the Trump camp wants. And in this case, some of the counts hold a maximum of 20 years prison sentence. And to give you an indication of how long that is, that's how long US troops were in Afghanistan for. So that's the updates on Trump, as we seem to have every week.
You can see the kind of this Japanese newspaper that I often show on Forecast News, don't I? Biden struggles to win voter credit as Americans feel happier on economy. Americans don't feel happier on economy. If you look down in here, it says 48%. Figure is up on people that are feeling good about the economy. So that means a majority don't feel good about the economy. Lies.
The numbers have increased.
But it says they feel happier. No, they don't. Most people don't. The lies from the media industrial complex in NATO nations and in the United States. One can only imagine the pressure the American people come under as they witness the propaganda attempts to try and stop them from voting for Trump, which will presumably fail. I mean, all polls show Trump is clearly going to win the elections in November. I should just say there'll be demonstrations on Friday all around the world, Ramadan demonstrations, against the UK-US-EU armed genocide. And you mentioned earlier about Borrell being in Washington for an extraordinary length of time. He's supposed to meet Blinken, the military arms consultant, faux Secretary of State, in D.C. in person.
U.S. Secretary of State.
U.S. Secretary of State, sorry. So, I mean, what's that? Are they planning something for attacking Russia and attacking Palestine and Arab countries?
Well, this is, of course, on Friday, as the EU is likely to renew its travel bans and asset freezes of Russian officials and Russian individuals over its taking of Crimea, if that's the phrase we want to use. Obviously, they imposed several
retaking.
Sanctions. back in 2014, and they've continuously extended the sanctions on those individuals. So bookies would suggest that that's probably going to happen again. I also just want to mention on Friday.
Not that they care. Clearly, the Russians don't seem to care at all about the sanctions. They're economically improving the more the sanctions have been put on Russia.
Well, what was that then? That'll be a decade of sanctions on these individuals, travel bans and asset freezes. And if they're not, you know, dead by now because of those asset freezes, then it's probably not affecting them too much.
I mean, sanctions are over for the United States and these NATO countries. No one cares about them. And have you seen the Bitcoin highs, by the way? I don't think anyone's using the dollar for extra sanction money transfer, arguably. And I should say it's also the anniversary of the overthrow of the democratically elected government of Iran on Friday. The Ides of March.
That's right. That's right. I also want to mention, actually, on Friday, it's World Consumer Rights Day, if you want to have a celebration, an annual day celebrating the international consumer movement, officially recognized by the UN, and it actually was brought about by assassinated US President John F. Kennedy, when he sent a message to Congress on the 15th of March, 1962, where he formally addressed this issue of consumer rights. And he was the first world leader to do so. So this day is in honor of him. And he said, I quote, "Consumers inside us all, they are the largest economic group affecting and affected by almost every public and private economic decision. Yet they are the only important group whose views are often not heard." So I don't know.
Ralph Nader did a bit more than Jack Kennedy, arguably. And what search engine do you use? Consumer rights. The whole world is run by a few tiny tech companies, isn't it? In terms of what we actually
use. I guess it's just the day, you know, if you've got a faulty item and you want to return it, that's your day to go do so. I mean, I don't know exactly what
given
it means,
the impoverishment of the 99% and the fact that despite Nvidia's stock going up, it's LVMH luxury company that's now the most valuable in the world. This massive transfer of wealth to the richest 0.001% has meant luxury goods being the richest corporate titans on earth. And I'm sure you know, if you can just bring your Cartier watch, your Hermes luggage, Louis Vuitton, all that, you just bring it straight back. You have complete consumer rights. Oh, it's only the poor that don't have consumer rights, isn't it?
I don't know that everyone has a Cartier watch.
No, you didn't mention Haiti, by the way. Once the richest country in the Western Hemisphere, which has been horribly interfered with by Obama and successive American presidents. Let's just pray for Haiti at the moment, because it's clear the Americans want to do something with that benighted Caribbean nation, rather like they want to do something arguably with the Gaza gas supply. What's this pier they want to build amidst the gas-rich resources of Gaza's coastline? Anyway, I should also say...
Not bringing aid.
I should also say, and this, as well as the US-UK-backed anniversary of the Halabja massacre, when Britain and the United States supported Saddam Hussein to mass murder children, the most important anniversary for American Palestinian activists will be Saturday's anniversary of the brutal killing of American activist Rachel Corrie. It'll be 21 years since she was killed by a caterpillar bulldozer protesting the plight of Palestinians.
Yeah, and the other prominent Saturday anniversary is that Saturday will be 10 years since the Crimea referendum, where voters, of course, were asked whether they wanted to rejoin Russia or if they wanted to restore the 1992 Crimea constitution and Crimea status as part of Ukraine. Now, as we know, over 95% of voters voted to rejoin Russia, which, of course, Russia accepted. However, as we know, according to Ukraine, the referendum was illegal. And according to the UN, the referendum was illegal. So a lot of dispute over to whether it was valid or not. But how do you think this is going to be remembered on this Saturday amidst war in Ukraine, 10 years on from this referendum?
Well, it is weird, isn't it? Because there were election observers. It's clear the people of Crimea want to be part of Russia. And this is conceded at the CIA, at the DNI in the United States, probably by MI6. And yet, if you read major propaganda media, the BBC or whatever, they're going to be telling you, yes, you know, Crimea should never be part of Russia. I mean, they know that Crimea and the people of Crimea want to be part of Russia. Why are they doing that? It would be like Russian media or Chinese media saying, clearly, the people of, I don't know, Alabama want to be part of some other country.
Well, I think it was more, wasn't it, that it was meant to be against the Ukraine constitution and international law, in the sense that Ukraine government wasn't the one to instigate this referendum. It was
that's the same as Yugoslavia and the Kosovo referendum. You know, this whole rules-based order is over, isn't it? Because Putin, in a sense, is just following what NATO did when they destroyed Europe's last socialist country for political reasons, Yugoslavia, and broke it apart and enforced referendums, and now created this thing called Kosovo, which is not even a country, although is a country in Western media.
I mean, it's all very complicated.
I don't think it is complicated. I think the United States has set a
course
for destroying the post-1945 consensus, and there's no hope of returning there anytime soon.
Well, I think that there seems to be a lack of consensus on the question of, like, what makes a country independent, under what international law are you using? Like, there's so much dispute over it, isn't there? There's not like a unanimous or universal idea of what a country is and why and how it comes to be.
Is Britain a country? It has no sovereignty, clearly, over its foreign policy, nor does any of the Western European countries. They just have to do what Washington tells them to do. And in terms of their own economies, in terms of sanctioning themselves, as part of the war, proxy war on through Ukraine. So what are these Western Europes? Are they countries, or are they just part of the American empire?
There's no clear answer, is there? But that does bring us to Sunday, which is the final day of the two-day election in Russia, where voters will decide to elect their brand new president, one Vladimir Putin. Of course, the bookies' favourite to win, or is he?
Could be the Communist Party.
What's that?
Although polling does show Putin looks like he's going to win.
Yeah, so I think we can already say commiserations to the other three candidates.
It's not going to be the CIA asset Navalny. You know, can you imagine the NATO propaganda media coverage of the Russian election? It'll be, if Navalny had been alive, Navalny famously who advocated the mass murder and extermination of Muslims, Navalny had been alive, he would have won. No, Navalny's party never polled anything like the main opposition party, Liberals and Communist Party and other people trying to compete with Putin's Unity Party. So, I mean,
there are still sort of questions surrounding how it works there, because of course there are three other candidates, all of whom happen to support the war in Ukraine. As we know, there are expected to be protests at the polling stations over Navalny's death, as you mentioned.
Are there?
There are expected to be.
Are there really? I mean, you'd think in any normal country, if there was a far-right supporters of killing all Muslims while a genocide is on the Middle East, supporting this character Navalny, who, as we know, was a CIA asset, the Russian security services should do something to stop this hate speech leader being commemorated at all. It would
be
like
Hitler.
Commemorated, at least for Muslims, during Ramadan. Navalny, you can watch the video online, wanted to exterminate Muslims. He has no business being remembered for anything other than his rampant Islamophobia. And never forget, Navalny supported the Russian decision to retake Crimea as well. Where's that in the Western press? It's all part of their cutout strategy that they do time and time again. And poor Navalny's family, very big questions over what Navalny's widow, what she's being lined up to do in any case. But if Russia allows far-right demonstrators for those that support extermination of Muslims, I think the Arab world will be looking down at the Russian security forces.
Well, as I said last week, that he did seem to backtrack on those ideas later on in his...
No, he never did. He never did. I've got the actual statement from Navalny.
Navalny
said he stands by those views.
On a particular issue, I believe he did, but he certainly tried to move away.
The extermination of Muslims.
He certainly tried to move away from those ideas later on in his political.
No, he definitely didn't. I'll find the quote, shall I?
No, he did not.
He did not. And if you ever had, Euro News even talking about how he said he never recoiled from those views. So this is some far right, disgusting man who died in a Russian prison, and no one should commemorate someone who wants genocide of Muslims at all.
Well, it is likely that the Russian government or officials will jail anyone who is protesting as they have.
Not because it's really important, because this was another CIA cutout operation like Juan Guaido in Venezuela, like they do all over the world. They set these people up, pour money into their accounts, teach them at Yale University, I think, in the valley. This is just repeated all over the global south, let alone in Russia, let alone in Hong Kong. And it's over now for these American media proxy things. Although every journalist, didn't he win an Oscar? Something about Navalny the previous year. You see the whole media complex, film, drama, books, everything designed to support these CIA cutout operations, trying to destroy popular democracy and sovereignty all around the world.
Okay. Well, aside from the protests though, and Navalny, I think there are still some questions around the candidates that were allowed to run in this election. I think there were some opposition candidates who were.
What do you mean allowed?
A Russian anti-war candidate, Boris Nadezhdin, if I'm saying that correctly. He was barred last week from running, as saying that they'd found flaws in the collection of signatures required for the support of his candidacy.
So what support did this man have? And was he actually a CIA cutout himself?
I think there are a number of people. So
to be clearly very wary of elections in countries that are official enemies of Washington's Washington. And, none of these people stand a chance against Putin, the Communist Party, and the Liberal Party anyway in Russian elections. So why are we even talking about them? Who are they? What is behind their views, and who is their support? These are the questions routinely asked in Britain under Jeremy Corbyn when he led the Labour Party. Is he a Russian asset? Trump, is he a Russian asset? The difference is, in Britain, Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, had nothing to do with Russian money. Trump had nothing to do with being a Russian asset. Okay. They always say that they are in the West, whereas in Russia, there really are people that are supported and are suspected agents.
Okay, well, commiserations, as I say, to the candidates who won't win. As we say, President Putin is pretty sure to win, and I'll just say it will be his fifth presidential term, or he's on his fifth since the year 2000. He, of course, amended the term so that he could legally stay in office till 2036, where he would be older than Biden at aged 83 if he ends up being president for the next.
What if he completes this term?
Pardon?
If he completes this term, he'll be older than Biden by the end of it.
If he stays in office until 2036, which under his amended terms is how long he can legally stay for. So that
You mean if he's elected, if he goes for another election? I don't think.
That's right. So that would be 36 years that he would be, if we get to that point. So whether he'll end up like Biden with dementia?
Yeah, but in the United States, it's sons, isn't it? So Bush's father, and then the son. And then Clinton, they tried to have Clinton, then the wife. People talking about Obama and then Obama's wife. It's hereditary in the United States, isn't it? That's how democracy, they try to.
Sometimes they have political families. Yes, you're right. I don't think John F. Kennedy's nephew is set to win in this election, is he?
No, I don't think.
But they may not succeed.
But the propaganda will be horrific, won't it? I've got the names of these bizarre opposition candidates that will be fated in Western propaganda media it's going to be horrific.
I don't really think they'll be talked about, to be honest with you.
In Western Europe, I've got an AP wire here. AP, of course, that published that fake photograph of that British royal. And they're whole pieces about how amazing these great opposition candidates are that have been jailed. AP, this is the organization, Associated Press, who famously said Russia had bombed Poland, and these opposition figures are going to be feted in Western European media. Even as if you look into them, you see their vile far right politics, and without even knowing their ties to NATO nation assets. The same was done in Iran at their parliamentary elections recently. So, you know, every country in the world has to be vigilant against NATO nation attempts at destroying any conception of democracy, because after all, NATO countries just bow down to Washington regardless of the people in those countries' views and democratic aspirations in any case. I'm not looking forward to the NATO nation propaganda media's coverage of the Russian elections one bit.
Well, perhaps we'll be able to talk about it next week, but we'd better leave it there.
Who will win?
Who will win the election? Who did we just say will win the election?
I think it will be Putin.
I've already pronounced it.
anyway, whoever wins, don't worry, Eastern Ukraine and the people who were being targeted by the British American-backed neo-Nazis of Ukraine, looks like the war's nearly over and you're going to be safe.
Okay, well, we better leave it there. Thank you so much for watching or listening. We're available on YouTube, X, Spotify, and other podcast platforms. But please leave us a comment, subscribe, like. We love to hear what you've got to say. But until next week, goodbye. Goodbye for now.
Bye.